Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda, Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Stotra Sat. His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrind Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadramai Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Samaveta Bhakta Vrind Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrind Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrind Ki Jai, Shri Shri Guru Gauranga Ki Jai. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरून् दीनतारणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम् आराध्यो भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस् तद्धाम वृन्दावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधू वर्गेणया कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेमापुमर्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्यमहाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादर न परः हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तु ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो रिगेश प्रभु हैड गिवन मी अ लॉट ऑफ टॉपिक्स फ्रॉम अस टू चूज टू स्पीक। All the topics were nice. So I spent many days in confusion, which topic to speak on. Then finally I selected the topic of prayers. Why we should pray and how we should pray. Right? So, what we will do is, today we will make use of your phones. Okay, you all have phones, so we will utilize it for various purposes. Madan Prabhu, I may need Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto and seventh canto. Hare Krishna. The problem with flower garlands is that there are lots of insects inside. And the other day I was in Gokuldham and they were full of ants which I didn't see, small, very small, and they were all over. So therefore nowadays as soon as we take, this? It's okay. So during the lecture the insects have a very good time. They have new territories to explore. seventh canto? No. I want the book itself. Yeah, seventh canto. Yeah. And the prayer, that also is good. You can keep it here. Yeah. So prayers is such a wonderful topic, because we are all expected to pray. Srila Prabhupada used to say that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is also a kind of prayer. So if you don't know any prayer, then at least you know the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is a perfect prayer. Does anybody know how Srila Prabhupada explained the purport of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? What does it mean when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? What are you actually praying? And to whom are you praying? Can anyone say? Yes? Very nice. It's a very simple prayer. Perfect. We are praying to Krishna and to Radharani. Krishna is Hari. Right? Why is Krishna called Hari? Because you have to hurry always to the temple to see him? Or why? Why is he called Hari? What? All the good things of life. Takes away all the contamination of life. Sarva amangala hare iti hari. So therefore, because he takes away, hare here means to take away. Amangal means all the inauspicious things in our life. Because Krishna or Hari takes away everything inauspicious in our life when we surrender to him, therefore he is called Hari. So Krishna only takes away, he doesn't give. That's the next question that will come, right? So Krishna is taking away everything inauspicious. But does he give anything auspicious or no? What does he give that is auspicious? Bhakti, excellent. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained the first meaning of Hari, as I said earlier, and the second meaning as Prema Diya Mana Hare. So firstly, he takes away everything inauspicious from our hearts, and also he gives something supremely auspicious. That is Prema, Krishna Prema, Bhakti, love of Godhead. That is the most auspicious thing in life. So he gives us that. So because he gives us the most auspicious thing and he takes away the most inauspicious things in our life, he is called Hari. And Hari takes away everything, he steals our heart also. But who steals everything from Krishna, including his heart? Radharani. So she is Hara, Hara. And when you address Hara, it becomes Hare. Like Ganga, we say, He Gange. Narmada, He Narmade. Radha, He Radhe. You know that verse? He Radhe Vraja Devike Chalalite. E Nanda Suno Kuta. Where is this from? Shad Goswamashtakam. So He Radhe Vraja Devike. Devika addressed in the form of address is Devike. So He Radhe Vraja Devike Cha Lalite. So Lalita, when you address her, Lalite. So similarly, Radha, Radhe, Hara becomes Hare. So Hare Krishna means you are addressing O Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and O Srimati Radharani, the Supreme Energy of Krishna, please engage us eternally in your devotional service. So that is the meaning of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So that is a prayer. That is our most concise and best prayer we can chant. So when we recite the Mahamantra, whether it is in japa or in kirtan, whether verbally, whether in the mind, softly, loudly, we should do it in a prayerful mood. Prayerful mood, what does it indicate? When I use the phrase prayerful mood, what does it mean? Any of you can say something?
Submission.
Very nice. In a mood of submission. Submission means what? Surrender. In a mood of surrender. And what else?
Love.
Very nice. Very good. In a mood of love. In a mood of surrender. Prayerful mood indicates all these things. A prayer is meaningless if it is done without the proper mood, without the proper emotion behind it. So that feeling, that emotion, that bhava, that sentiment is a very integral part of the mood of prayer. It is not simply a mechanical activity that we can do, recite some prayers, recite some mantras, and we finish our prayers. I'm done with my prayers for the day. So we recite it with a great prayerful mood. So this mood is very important, and whether it is japa or kirtan, we have to do it in this prayerful mood. And also surrender means that you are utterly dependent on Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada once famously said in his famous lecture, short lecture on the Mahamantra, he said that our chanting of Hare Krishna must be like the crying of the child for the mother, Hara. Just like a child will cry helplessly for its mother, similarly the devotee must cry out helplessly to Radharani and Krishna. So that is the topmost prayer and the topmost mood in which we can chant. Of course, there are other moods also in other bhavas. But generally, as sadhakas, our mood should be, O Radharani, O Krishna, please give us shelter at your lotus feet. Please engage us in your devotional service eternally. So in a prayer, this is what we should be asking. There are two kinds of prayers. One is prayers that are chanted like this, with a pure heart, with this kind of mood of surrender, but only wanting love and service, nothing else. The second kind of prayer is, you may chant very heartfelt prayers. You may chant even in a mood of surrender, but you want something in return. Oh Krishna, I'm praying for you. Please let this contract happen in the business. Please let this particular marriage happen in the family. So when you ask something material from Krishna through your prayers, that is a materialistic influence. So when we talk of prayer, we are talking of the pure devotional prayers. We are not talking of prayers that are contaminated by material desires. But desire even for liberation, we don't even want that. So this is the standard of prayer in pure devotional service. So prayer, what is it called in Sanskrit or Hindi or Kannada? Prarthana, yes. And in Vandanam, Vandanam, Vandana, Vandanam. Yes? And that is part of the Navavidha Bhakti, the ninefold process of bhakti as given by Prithu Maharaj, no? Prahlad Maharaj, correct. By Prahlad Maharaj. In which shloka? Dehi no smin yatha dehe. No, then? No, in which shloka he says this? Shravanam kirtanam Vishno smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyam atmanivedanam iti punsarpita Vishno bhaktis chennava lakshana kriyeta bhagavatyadhya tatmanyadhitam uttamam. So Prahlad Maharaj says that, my dear father, this ninefold process of bhakti, of devotional service, is, according to me, the topmost learning, the topmost education. The person who follows this ninefold process of bhakti to Lord Vishnu or Krishna is the most learned person in the society. Tad manye adhitam uttamam. Adhitam means learned, to learn. Uttamam means the topmost. Tad manye, I think that a person who follows this ninefold process of bhakti is the most learned person in the world. So in the ninefold process of bhakti, he talks of shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam. So this vandanam is also one of the nine processes of bhakti. Now, Srila Prabhupada gives a very interesting definition of the word vandanam. Not only prayers. When we think of prayers, we think of something we will speak to the Lord either verbally or in our mind, isn't it? We make a plea. We make an entreaty to the Lord. So that is certainly vandanam. But there is another aspect of vandanam which Srila Prabhupada speaks about in his purport to this verse. It's a very long purport. I'll only select the relevant parts that have to do with vandanam. Okay? Now just read carefully. Yes. Vandanam means offering respectful obeisances. Have you heard that before? Vandanam means offering prayers. But Srila Prabhupada is making an important point. He's saying vandanam also means offering obeisances, not simply praying something to the Lord, chanting a mantra. But because the obeisance also has to be offered in that prayerful mood of surrender. So that is why we dandavat, we fall like a danda. Like, vat means like, danda means a stick. When you drop a stick, it just falls like that. So we offer our complete obeisance. So that's called shashtanga pranam. Where all the parts of your body, including your heart, are offered in surrender to Krishna. Generally, the ladies would offer panchanga pranam. But that also is a symptom of surrender. So you're offering yourself to the Lord. So he says, vandanam means... I'll read again. Vandanam means offering respectful obeisances. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Vandanam means namaskuru, offering obeisances or offering prayers. So vandanam refers to both things. Which two things? Offering prayers and offering obeisances. And later on, Srila Prabhupada in more detail speaks about each of these seven processes. Archanam is the longest. We'll talk of vandanam. Now, you read this. Come. Okay? What Srila Prabhupada says about vandanam. See here? You come here, read. Read this paragraph from here. this Vandanam paragraph.
Yes,
you can sit.
Vandanam. Although prayers are a part of deity worship, they may be considered separately like the other items, such as hearing and chanting, and therefore separate statements are given herewith. The Lord has unlimited transcendental qualities and opulences, and one who feels influenced by the Lord's qualities in various activities offers prayers to the Lord. In this way, he becomes successful. In this connection, the following are some of the offenses to be avoided. To offer obeisances on one hand, to offer obeisances with one's body covered, to show one's back to the deity, to offer obeisances on the left side of the deity, to offer obeisances very near the deity. Dasya. Yeah.
Thank you. You should be have a career as a news announcer. Hare Krishna. So what Srila Prabhupada is saying is that generally Vandanam can also be considered a part of deity worship, Archanam, but because it is important in its own right, just like Shravanam and Kirtanam, it is also considered separately as one limb or one Anga of devotional service. And once again Srila Prabhupada speaks about the qualities and the activities of Krishna and how they are part of the prayers that we offer. And he also speaks about obeisances once again here. And he says we have to avoid offenses. So what are the wrong ways of offering obeisances? Srila Prabhupada has mentioned here. Offering obeisances with one hand. How many of you do that sometimes? You know what it means, offering obeisances with one hand? Suppose you are prostrate on the floor. You are supposed to put both hands forward. Right? And if you are a Mataji, then on your Panchanga Pranam, you have both hands ahead of your head. But to have only one hand forward and one hand doing something else. Let's say mostly devotees hold a bead bag. Okay? And then you offer with one hand forward. So I always joke that don't do that because that is like the Hitler pose. Like that. Hitler's salute was like this. So you should offer obeisances with both hands extended forward. Right? And it should not be just hunched like this. It should be straight forward. Fully stretched, extended forward, not only with one hand. Second thing, offer obeisances with one's body covered. That means your head, everything, you cover your whole body. That nobody does, but it is mentioned. Maybe some people used to do it. Third, he says to show one's back to the deity. This is something I see very commonly in our temples that devotees do. So sometimes that is because of the way the temple hall is designed and the deities are in one direction, Prabhupada is in one place, the speaker on the Vyasasan is one place and the audience has to hear the speaker. So you have to try to arrange it in such a way that none of the devotees are sitting with their back to the deities. Okay, that's very important. And hopefully also not with your back to Srila Prabhupada. So that is something you try to remember. And sometimes you can just sit in an inclined way so that you can face. In some temples it becomes a problem because the Vyasasana is located in such a way. So there the devotees sit either with the back to the deities, or if they don't, then they can't face the speaker. So you have to manage in such a way that you can be slightly inclined, so at least your back is not directly facing the deities. Next, Srila Prabhupada says to offer obeisances on the left side of the deity. and to go very close to the deity. Therefore, when you are on the altar, especially those of you who do pujari service and you go on the altar to do arati, how many of you do that? Any of you go on the altar? No. So in the garbhagriha, in the altar, you should not offer obeisances. You should only just fold your hands. The obeisances have to be offered outside. Okay? That's one of the rules. Don't offer obeisances very near the deity. So here Srila Prabhupada is defining vandanam both as offering prayers, which means appreciating the glories and the qualities and the activities of the Lord on one hand, and secondly also offering obeisances to the Lord. Both these things are part of vandanam. I also mentioned that vandanam can be purely spiritual or it can be contaminated by something material. So therefore, we have to know several things about prayers. We have to know who to pray to. So we should pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That is clear for all of us. So then we shouldn't pray to the Vaishnavas, right? Because we are only praying to Krishna, no? Okay, so, okay, then what about Tulsi, what about Ganga, what about Mother Cow? We should not pray to them, right? They are not Krishna. So see, you have to make up your mind. Either we offer our prayers to Krishna or we offer our prayers to many apart from Krishna also. Very nice. Whoever is dear to Krishna. Yes, that is the principle. How many of you have heard this verse in which Bhakti, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami defines what is Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti? Any of you know that verse? How many of you have done Bhakti Shastri? Okay, how many of you know that verse? Yes. Yes. Anukulena Shilanam. Krishnanu Shilanam. No Kevalam. Bhakti Ruttama. No Kevalam here. So, very nice. So, this verse is a fundamental definition of bhakti. We should all try to remember this verse. Very important verse for us. Anyabhilashita Shunyam. Jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti ruttama. Uttama bhakti, or the topmost bhakti, is defined over here as being that bhakti which is service, the cultivation of service to Krishna without contamination by anything fruitive or without the desire for liberation. And such service that is offered to Krishna should be done without motivation, then it becomes the topmost devotional service. Now, the Acharyas explain, Srila Jiva Goswami explains, Krishna Anushilanam. So the word Krishna includes all things and people dear to Krishna. So that includes the Vaishnavas, it includes Tulasi, it includes Mother Cow, Ganga, Yamuna, Vrindavan. Yes, the dust of Vrindavan. So Krishna includes all. Krishna, the word Krishna includes Ramachandra, it includes Narsingadev, etc. So therefore, when we say offering prayers, we also mean offering prayers to all those entities or personalities that are very dear to Krishna. So every day we offer prayers to Tulsi Maharani, isn't it? Every day we offer prayers to the spiritual master in the morning in the Mangala Arati. So in this way, prayers have to be done, addressed to whom? To Krishna, with this understanding. And next question, for what? Without any material contamination, unless we have knowledge, we do not know what to ask Krishna for. It's like a person going to, let's say you're building a big temple in Bangalore, okay? Grand temple worth 150 crores, let us say. And you go to one person who is very wealthy and is very favorable, and he has thousands of crores with him. And you go and tell him, see, we are building this temple. How much will it cost? 150 crores. Sure. So what do you want? He pulls out his checkbook, put whatever figure you want. Please give me 10 rupees donation. You ask him 150 crores, he will happily give you 150 crores and you can build your temple. But if you ask him for 10 rupees, he says, hey, I can give you so much money. You're asking only for 10 rupees. So in the same way, when we go to Krishna and we ask for something materialistic, it's like going to that rich man and asking for 10 rupees. When Krishna can give you eternal life, he can give you eternal bliss, he can give you freedom from birth, death, old age, disease, he can give you freedom from income tax and GST. He can give you freedom from school exams and classes and job and business. He can give you total freedom from fights and quarrels and anxiety and tension. Eternally, he can give you Krishna Prem and residence in the spiritual world in his company. And then if you go and pray to Krishna, Krishna, please give me some little money, or give me something material. So that's not very clever. So Srila Prabhupada one time narrated this story, and you may have heard this story also. There was this poor old lady who lived in a village. She had become old right from her young days. She had been working very hard to maintain herself. She would go into the forest, she would cut some wood, and then she would come back into the village market, and she would sell that wood, and she would eke out a very meager livelihood in that way. Right? So she was not rich, hand-to-mouth existence. And she spent decades and decades of her life like this. And she had become old now, but still for her survival she had to do that. So every day she would go into the jungle, cut some wood, and then carry it on her head. And then she would bring it back into the village, into the marketplace. So because she was old, one time what happened is that she was carrying that log, the bundle of wood on her head, and her hands were shaking because of old age, and the wood fell down to the ground. And suddenly God appeared in front of her. Yes. And he said, so I am God, and I can fulfill any desire that you have. Ask me for any benediction. So this lady, she could have asked for anything. Right? She asked, can you please lift that bundle and put it on my head? Because I feel very tired to bend down and lift that wood again. Yes? What could she have asked for? Yeah, that is spiritual, but give a worldly example. She could have said, please arrange my life in such a comfortable way that I don't have to work hard like this, that my survival is taken care of, I have enough to live by comfortably, and people will come and give me food and take care of me, etc. Instead, she asked that he lift the bundle of wood and place it on her head. Because not only was she not intelligent, but she was used to thinking in a certain way for her whole life. So also, as residents of the material world, who have been living in this material world for millions and millions of lifetimes, we have got used to thinking in a certain way. We have a certain concept of what is happiness, what is success, what we should ask for, what is valuable, worthy of achieving. And so even when you go to God, we have this tendency to ask for something material. And even if somebody wants to give us a blessing or a benediction, then we ask for something material. One time when Srila Prabhupada was traveling by train in India, along with some of his disciples, some Indian gentleman happened to go outside his compartment. And he happened to see a sadhu sitting inside, and he was a little pious gentleman. So he said, "I want to come and offer my blessing, to get your blessings." So Srila Prabhupada understood that he had come to seek some blessings for some material purpose. Because generally people are like that. In India people come also and they ask, "Please, you know, bless me that my business will go all right," or something like that, "my child will get good marks in the 10th standard," or something like that. At least to me, mostly people ask this kind of thing. Now 10th standard exam is coming, 12th standard exam, medical college, engineering college, IIT, is, you know, like that. Yes. So Srila Prabhupada understood the mood of this person. So when he came and he asked for blessings, and he wanted to bring the family, he said, "Yes, I bless you that your whole family will become totally surrendered to Krishna and you will become like my disciples here." And these disciples are sitting with shaven head and dhoti kurta, and that man got terrified and he ran away from there. So generally the blessings that are given in response to prayers and pleas are, let us say, what kind of blessings do people give? Ayushman bhava, chiranjivi bhava, vijayi bhava, like this. But what blessings did Mahaprabhu give, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Krishne mati rastu, Krishna mati. Mati means intelligence or consciousness, prajna. So Mahaprabhu's blessings were, may you become Krishna conscious. May your intelligence, may your consciousness always reside in Krishna. That is the perfect blessing. So the perfect prayer and the perfect benediction. So we should know what to ask for. And because we don't know that, we are not aware of that. So even when we may be asked to give blessings by our young people, elders also now, they will also give blessings like this. Another story Srila Prabhupada said is of this elderly lady who lived in a village, and she had some difficulty, and the district collector, of the district came, and he said, "What's the problem?" He solved her problem. So she was so happy with him that she said, "I bless you that you will become the Havaldar of the police, the police constable." Because in her experience in the village, the Havaldar is the big man, the constable. Everybody is afraid of the police constable when he walks in the village. So that is her experience, her knowledge. She doesn't understand the hierarchy, that the district collector is much, 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 much above the police constable. So she gave blessings to the police constable that he may become a constable, to the district collector, that he may become a constable. So like this, prayers and benedictions, they are connected. Both should be given by people in knowledge. Then that is a perfect combination. And let's see, at some point we can try to ask, or we can try to look at benedictions. And what kind of prayers to ask for. Madan Prabhu, can I have 10th canto? I was not planning to, but since it has just come to my mind. Tenth canto, chapter 41. It'll be volume 2. I think. So the background is that Krishna has just entered Mathura. And after having entered Mathura, chapter 41 and text 51.
Can I have some?
So after having entered Mathura, all the residents of Mathura, and Krishna meets Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda also, not Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men who have also come to Mathura to pay taxes to King Kamsa. Okay? And then the residents of Mathura are very glad to see him. They are overjoyed. 51, yeah. 51. Chapter 41, verse 51. Yeah. So there he meets thank you. So he has some interesting experiences there. He meets a weaver. A weaver, he gives very nice cloth and some nice ornaments made of clothes and decorates Krishna and Balaram. Krishna also meets a washerman who is Kamsa's washerman, and he sees all the royal clothing. And Krishna and Balaram ask the washerman, please give us those clothes. We would like to also wear this royal clothing. The washerman becomes furious and he says, these are the king's clothing, these are the royal clothing. And you too, how are you so impudent that you are asking this from me? So Krishna became very angry and decided to show some mercy to that washerman. So what did he do? He did a karate chop with the tips of his fingers. He just cut off that washerman's head. Nowadays if you have to do karate chop, you have to use your whole, you do all sorts of sounds, no? And then you do ha, and you do like that. You have seen those karate people, right? But Krishna, just with the tips of his fingers, he just cut. And then he came across one devotee whose name was Sudama. But this Sudama is not the Sudama of Dwarka, the famous Sudama. This is another Sudama who lived in Mathura. And this Sudama was a malakar. Malakar means he was a garland maker. So he got the best fragrant and fresh flowers and had made garlands, and he offered them very devotionally to Krishna and Balaram. And they were very pleased with him. And they asked him, what benedictions do you want? And then he replied in this verse. So those of you who have your books, your mobile phones, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.41.51. Sopi vavre chalam bhaktim tasmin eva khilatmani tat bhakteshu cha sauhardam bhuteshu cha dayam param sopi vavre chalam bhaktim tasmin eva khilatmani tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam bhuteshu cha dayam param Sopi vavre chalam bhaktim. Tasmin neva khilatmani. Tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam. Bhuteshu cha dayam param. Two or three of you can chant. Sopi vavre chalam bhaktim. Tasmin eva khilatmani. Tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam. Bhuteshu cha dayam param. Sopi vavre chalam bhaktim. Tasmin eva khilatmani. Tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam. Bhuteshu cha dayam param. Sopi vavre chalam bhaktim. Tasmin eva khilatmani. Tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam. Bhuteshu cha dayam param. Saha. He. Api. And. Vavre. Chose. Achalam. Unshakable. Bhaktim. Devotion. Tasmin. To him. Eva, alone, akhila, of everything, atmani, the supreme soul, tat, toward his, bhakteshu, devotees, cha, and, sauhardam, friendship, bhuteshu, towards living beings in general. Cha. And. Dayam. Mercy. Param. Transcendental. Translation. Sudama chose unshakable devotion for Krishna, the supreme soul of all existence, friendship with his devotees, and transcendental compassion for all living beings. So when Krishna and Balaram invited Sudama, Malakar, to ask for some benedictions, he asked for three benedictions. The first benediction he asked for is Achalam Bhaktim, unshakable devotion, bhakti, to whom? Eva Akhilatmani, unto Krishna, who is the soul of all existence. So that's the first thing he asked for, unshakable devotion to Durga. Oh, sorry, made a mistake. I was just wanting to see whether you are alert or whether the breakfast and full stomach has acted upon you in some way. So he asked for unshakable devotion to Krishna. First. Second, tat bhakteshu cha sauhardam. Sauhard, rid, rid means heart. Su means nice. Do you know words with su? Does it start with su? Shubham. Shubham is sha, shubh. That's different. Sumedha. Sumedha. Medh means intelligence. Su means very much. Nicely. Then? Suhridam. Suhridam. Hrida means heart. So suhrid means with a good heart. So good wishes. When somebody is very favorably inclined. So a very deep friend is called a suhrid. One who is a well-wisher. Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. No, Krishna says, he is the eternal well-wisher of all living entities. So the word Su, when it is used as a prefix, indicates something that is very nice, that is very good. So Suhrid is a friend, a real well-wisher, and Sauharda is friendship. So he is asking for friendship with whom? Tat Bhakteshu, with the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay? And the third thing he is asking for is Bhuteshu. Bhuteshu means all the living entities in general. Dayam Param. He is asking for compassion. What kind of compassion? Param, transcendental compassion. Not just ordinary compassion. So transcendental compassion, that I can have transcendental compassion on all the living entities of the world. So Sudama Malakar has asked for three benedictions from Krishna. So one by one, can three different devotees give the benedictions? Number one, what did he ask for? Two, he asked for unshakable devotion to Krishna. Second benediction, anyone? Friendship with his devotees. And third? Transcendental compassion for all living entities. These three benedictions he asked for. This verse I find is very important for us because it encapsulates the mood of our whole movement, of our whole mission. It includes everything you may want to pray for. These three things, this one verse. So the reason I have introduced this verse in our discussion is to make the point that whatever prayers that we offer to the Supreme Lord should fall within the ambit of these three benedictions. Not outside of that. Okay? So why have I introduced this verse in the topic of prayers? So that whatever prayers we offer, in this mood means what? Will be within these three points. You will be connected to unshakable devotion for yourself, friendship with the devotees, and compassion up to for everybody else. So our prayer should be connected to one or more of these topics, of these benedictions that Sudama Malakar has asked. Right? Nothing else as devotees. For other things, Krishna already knows. If your business is in trouble, he knows it. Right? He knows that you are in trouble. He will do something. If you're having some other difficulty, he knows it. Of course, in an emergency situation where something is very serious, grave, then where else will the devotee go? So it is natural if the devotee wants to pray for relief from some extreme distress, then he can approach Krishna, all right. But that is an emergency situation. We are not meant to pray to Krishna routinely for such material things. If for life-threatening situations or for very serious situations, if we approach Krishna for relief, that is not a fault on our devotional service. So therefore, now we are clear about what to pray for. We talked about the mood of praying. We talked about who to pray to. We spoke about what to pray for and what not to pray for. Right? So at this point, we'll stop for a few minutes. What is the time now? How much? Okay, so you want a 5-minute break? Just to stretch your legs? Or you're okay? 5-minute break. Okay? So come back after 5 minutes. Don't go far away. Otherwise you won't get prasadam. Come back in 5 minutes. You want to drink some water, you want to just stretch your legs, you can do that. Hare Krishna.